We're talking about faith people, people that live by faith. We live by what we believe. We have a belief system that's built by the Word of God. We live by that. And it changes every aspect of our life, connects us to God and allows Him entry in every way, changes our lifestyle. The just shall live by faith. We're also talking about being Holy Spirit people. Now that the Spirit has come to dwell in us and come upon us with power, changes things. A Holy Spirit-filled faith person ought to be a little different than everybody else. Not in some pride way or some badge of honor way, but in a holy, supernatural way. And so we're just kind of running through a lot of things in the Bible to show some example of what that looks like. And then in doing so, it gives us a challenge, a benchmark, something to shoot for, something to check our own life to make sure that I'm living up to the thing that Jesus died for. Amen. So we're just finding some things. We've already been through a bunch of the book of Acts. Acts 18, verse 23. I just wanted to throw this one in. He said, after he had spent some time there in Caesarea, he departed and went over the region of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. Glory. Okay, I'm just picking this out of context. But in context, he's talking about his journeys in starting churches, getting people saved, building the church. And so he went around strengthening disciples in this area that he had already been to. He went around strengthening the disciples. It does require this whole thing called building the church does require that preachers go around strengthening the disciples. You do need preachers speaking into your life. Teachers of God, preachers of God, the fivefold ministers of God. It's part of strengthening the disciples. You can be a pretty good Christian at home. You can grow some, but you can't be fully strengthened and fully grown and mature without the ministers. Why do we have to say that? Is it so that we can keep a following? No, it's because that's how Jesus designed it. So faith people read that and say, yep, yep, praise the Lord. I understand this, that I'm strengthened when I hear a preaching and a teaching under the anointing of God. Isn't that right? Look at chapter 19, verse 1. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And so they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So think how raw these people are. They didn't even grow up praying the prayer in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They didn't know nothing about nothing. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. So John the Baptist was going around saying, the kingdom of God's coming, repent. And so they said, yes, I'm ready for the Messiah. I'm ready for this kingdom. I'm turning to God. So they got baptized in water following John the Baptist. Then Jesus shows up preaching, but these people didn't even know about Jesus yet. They just knew John's preaching and John's baptism. And then Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him that would come after him, that's on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Wonderful. This is the progression of people that are seeking God and honoring God. He'll get the right gospel to them. He'll get the gospel to them that's preached right. And so they heard it. They said, I'm in. They received Jesus, got baptized in water like all of us would. And when Paul, verse 6, laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. So they heard the message of Jesus, they got dunked in water, but that wasn't the end of it. And so cessationists, kind of, it's a term that say tongues has ceased and the power of the Holy Spirit has ceased and miracles have ceased when the apostles ceased. But that's not really true. You just have to notice that there is subsequent experience after being saved. After being saved, baptized in water, there's something else. It's called Holy Spirit. Well, how can you prove that? Well, it says Paul laid his hands on them, then the Holy Spirit came upon them. Right. So at salvation, the Holy Spirit comes inside. Right. Yeah. The Holy Spirit takes up residence inside the heart of a believer, seals our spirit. The Bible says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. And so he's in there. There's a presence of God, an unction, an anointing. There's the Holy Spirit in us who begins to lead us in life. But that's still not the end. We still need the Holy Spirit to come up on us, upon us. And so Paul laid his hands, the Holy Spirit comes upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Basically, the power of God has now come upon them. And the first evidence that the power of God has come upon you is that you speak in tongues, and you may or may not prophesy in the same moment. And that begins a supernatural life for you, where number one, you get a prayer language that you can pray unto the Lord in an unknown tongue, an unknown language to your brain, but your spirit man connects. Then that's also the door into the supernatural, where other miracles may begin to happen for you, where supernatural things can happen for you or through you more readily, where you're more easily sensitized to the Holy Spirit, Amen. Where you can be led by Him even better, where you understand the Word of God more easily. Once you've given yourself to the Holy Spirit, once you've yielded to something so holy and invisible by faith, all of a sudden now your heart is enlarged for the next thing, the next step, the next page. Holy Spirit-filled people usually have more capacity to grasp the kingdom of God. Not with some badge of honor, not that you're despising others, but that you have to recognize how valuable being filled with the Holy Spirit really is. It's not just something on paper. It's not just a terminology. It's not just a group to belong to. It's not just a sign on a church building. It's holy. His name is Holy Spirit. He needs to be in you, yes. And He needs to be upon you, yes. And you need to know Him, yes. And you need to follow Him, yes. And you need to yield to Him, yes. And you need to get very, very close to the Holy Spirit. Like as close as a husband and wife and closer you need to be to the Holy Spirit. Right? Like if he said something to you, you'd hear him. If she said something to you, you'd obey. I mean, you'd hear her. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. He says something, ooh. You're lonely. You're lonely at home. Not if you have the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's like, Amen. Hi, Holy Spirit. This is so wonderful. Don't even need music and I can love on God and enjoy the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Pray in tongues a bit. Bring it. You just pray. You talk to the Lord. You read the Bible, and it's like, talk to me. Show me some good stuff. Let's go. Let's go. And you just have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be lonesome, lonely, nothing like that, because you have Holy Spirit. So we all need this. This is how it all comes to life. Right. Believing in God is one thing. Connecting to Him through the Holy Spirit is another. Makes life worth living. Verse 5, when they heard this, they began to argue. Oh, I'm sorry, no. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. This story made it to the Bible. Just 12 people got filled with the Holy Spirit. I always note that the Holy Spirit allowed Paul to count and allowed Luke to write it. It's okay to count. With the right heart, we're not trying to accumulate, you know, for our own sake. But it's okay to acknowledge 5 people got saved, 10 people got filled with the Holy Spirit, a bunch of people got healed. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. Part of this gospel ministry is a lot of reasoning and explaining. You need to be okay with that. We have to reason. We have to reason through the scriptures. Build spiritual logic. We have to explain things. That's just part of the gospel if we're going to get it straight. Verse 11. Now God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them and the evil spirits went out of them. And then some of the itinerant Jews, let me stop there. So this is unusual miracles basically that happened by, let's say it this way, by faith. Right. Since cloth is not a magic wand, there's no magic dust on this, there's no fancy miracle oil or something you can put on something and cause it to make miracles. These were unusual miracles where Paul's clothing was taken, whether that was a cloak he took off and sent it out, or cut up and sent out, whatever. It came from somebody by faith and was taken to a sick person or demon-possessed by faith. So you need to recognize that this unusual thing still happened by faith. Somebody had to believe something for this to work. We've had several miracles, notable, recorded, where somebody from here took a cloth of some sort that somebody prayed over or laid hands or wore during preaching or ministry or whatever, and took it to a sick person, and the person got well, got healed, got delivered. It can happen, and it happens by faith. It also has to do with the power of God. The power of God is very real. The tangible power of God can be felt even. Jesus felt power go out of him. Well, we've all felt, most of us here have felt power. Whether it's you laying hands on somebody and you feel the power, or you had hands laid on you and you felt the power of God is tangible in the spirit realm, sometimes even in the natural realm. And that power can be transmitted through laying on of hands, through the hem of his garment, you recall scripture. And in this case, cloth seemed to carry the power of God with it. By faith, it can happen. All right? So we need to be okay with that in this life and ministry, unusual things can be done. Now, I wouldn't recommend purchasing cloth from the television or purchasing the miracle oil from Israel. I wouldn't recommend doing that. You can detect something that's not quite right there. And when you detect something that's not quite right, you just back off. Don't do that. On the other hand, by faith, people can be delivered even if they're not present. Sometimes you can just pray for them. Other times, take the cloth. If you don't have a cloth, take something. By faith. Do whatever it takes. Do something where you can release your faith for somebody to be set free. I remember a story R.W. Shambach used to tell. Somebody came to one of his meetings, and they said that their sister was in the insane asylum, the mental hospital, and they wouldn't let her out to come to the meeting. And so he said, well, I'll pray over something, and you can, a book or a cloth, and you can take it to her. And they said, no, they won't let anything in there except food. So could you please hold this candy while you preach? So he put the candy in his pocket, and at the end of the preaching, he gave the hard candy back to the sister. She took it to the insane asylum. They let her give it to her sister, and her sister got totally set free from demons by eating the candy. Okay. Now, I wasn't there and you weren't there, but that's a similar story where by faith, miracles can happen for folks. Then let's read a little bit here. Verse 13, then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. It's a funny thought that they brought two other people into their exorcism. We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That ended their demon casting out. Obviously, they didn't have the Holy Spirit. Obviously, they weren't even saved, or they'd have been known in the Spirit. So if you're saved and filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be known in the Spirit realm. Some people are like, oh my gosh, I don't think I want to be known in the Spirit realm. If you want to help people, you're going to have to be. So by faith in the Holy Spirit, miracles can happen, but don't you try it without faith and the Holy Spirit. And if so, wear two layers of clothing, please. Praise the Lord. This became known to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling at Ephesus, and fear fell on all of them and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. So you don't want to know the Jesus that Pastor Chaz knows, or the Jesus and Holy Spirit that Pastor Joni knows. You need to know the Holy Spirit personally for yourself. You want a decent Christian life and a powerful Christian life, you're going to have to know God by yourself. So don't just try to live vicariously through other preachers. Even though the stories may be fun and there's an impartation and something special, that can't be it for you. You can't just watch other people eat steak and cake and queso. Is it dinner time? Is that what's going on here? Acts chapter 20. Verse 7, now on the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. You should be thinking, yeah, we're kind of wimpy around here. We can't. No, I'm just kidding. Special meetings, you ought to be able to go to midnight. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. And in a window sat a certain young man named Eutychus, who was sinking into a deep sleep. That makes me feel better. He fell asleep on Paul the Apostle. He was overcome by sleep, and as Paul continued speaking, he fell down from the third story and was taken up dead. He died right in the middle of a church meeting. Now, those who don't know the Word of God or anything about the power of God would say, God must have had a reason. Must have been sin in his life. Must have been a wrong teaching. He fell asleep and died. But Paul knew better. Paul knew that things like that are not supposed to happen. People don't have to die prematurely. But Paul went down, fell on him, and embracing him, said, do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Paul exercised his faith, went over there and raised him from the dead, basically. He didn't examine him and say, no, he's not dead. No, third story, he was taken up dead. And then this is very interesting. So that's how you react. Your first reaction is very important. Oh my gosh is not a good first reaction. Your first reaction is very important. When emergencies happen, what's going to come out of your heart when an emergency happens? It's got to be based on your faith. What you already know to be true needs to come out. Do not trouble yourselves, for his life is in him. Verse 11. Now when he had come up, had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till daybreak, he departed. This is Paul. And they brought the young man in alive, and they were not a little comforted. It's because they were a lot comforted. Probably because they couldn't pay attention to Paul the whole time, wondering about the dead guy in the other room. Apparently, Paul grabbed him, said his life is in him, and left him there, and they went and continued the meeting until daybreak. And then, after Paul left, they brought the dead guy in and presented him alive. Interesting. Faith people do strange things like this. For the power of God to act, it takes somebody that's confident and bold. That's really how miracles happen. Somebody that knows. Not somebody that sits there and hopes. There's a whole lot of hoping that God will do something. A lot of prayer is just a lot of hoping. We're all just hoping that God will do something. We're all just hoping they'll get well. We're all just hoping something will happen. That's not how miracles work. There's been just way too many disappointments, hoping and waiting and wishing that something would happen and hoping that God would heal and hoping that they would, and hoping, and really that's all it is. It's somebody just kind of hoping. Without Bible hope, they're just hoping that it works. Bible hope is a destiny and an absolute with faith that accompanies it. It's how miracles take place. And I'm glad Paul gave us a good example that people don't have to die in your meetings. Brother Shambach used to tell this story a lot. It's in the book that we have in the bookstore. But he said in one of the miracle crusades, he said in the fourth row, this man died. And everybody began to point. And so he runs down there and the man's dead. And he commands him to come back. He said, you're not dying in my service. Come back. I command your spirit to come back in Jesus' name. And then he said, take this man behind the platform, and I'm going to keep preaching. Nothing's going to interrupt the preaching. Same thing with Paul, right? Well, that's because this spiritual stuff is important. Kingdom stuff is vital, so you don't let the devil stop you. And if you start letting the devil stop you, he'll keep on stopping you.
That's right.
If you let the devil stop you from coming to church, it'll be hard to get to church for the next 10 years for you. You whip him, then it'll be easy. The devil never tries to stop me from coming to church. Amen. Never.
Amen.
I whipped him year one. Okay? And so Brother Schambach finished preaching that night, and everybody forgot about the fellow they threw behind the platform. Because, you know, in those tent meetings, you have a big stage put up, and then you have curtain or some sort of wall behind you. And then behind it, there's all sorts of stuff back there, the generator and all the stuff behind the... And he said at 3:30 in the morning, he woke up in the hotel room, and he thought, what about the dead guy? And so the next night, he says, anybody that's happy, want to testify, come up here. Well, five people came up, and the first guy that came up was a fella in a nice dress suit. And he said, well, what's going on? He goes, you don't recognize me? He goes, I was the dead guy last night. The story was he'd had four heart attacks. The doctor said, if you have another, you're going to die. So he died. He said, but I died, and I want to thank you so much for calling my spirit back in. He said, because I was a sinner headed to hell.
Wow.
He said, but you called me back into my body, and I woke up behind the stage. But I had seen the whole thing because I was floating away from my body. He said, I woke up behind the stage and got saved and got filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm here to thank you and testify to God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God.
Well, what if the preacher hadn't have decided, you're not dying in my meeting?
Come on.
I mean, stuff didn't just accidentally happen. Things don't automatically happen because we're Christian. Things don't automatically happen because God loves you. And there's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. He loves you. But for him to come into this earth and do something mighty, it's going to take something very different than normal.
Right.
Amen. Different than normal being not just praying, oh God, please, oh please don't let him die. That's never worked.
Come on.
And if it looked like it worked, it may or may not have worked anyway. We're talking about dramatic miracles. They require something completely different than just passive, I just think everything's going to be okay. Wait a second, are you sure about that? Did you connect with the Holy Spirit? I just feel like everything's going to be okay. Why do you feel that way? Are you sure? Being passive and just, well, I'm a Christian, God loves me, I know the Bible, everything's going to be okay. That's not necessarily how it's okay. Miracles and faith and stuff like that require a connection to the person of God. Somebody that knows God, somebody that knows the Holy Spirit, you need some feedback from the Holy Spirit. Like, Holy Spirit, is everything okay? I got it. I heard from him. I know what's going to happen. Anyway, praise the Lord. I've only had one person die, and I followed suit. I'd heard stories. I knew what to do. Fellow in a church here in Houston I was preaching in, and all of a sudden this fellow, you know, leans over, and everybody starts pointing at him, and I'm looking, and they're like, and they were checking his breath, and he's dead. He's dead. I'm like, no, in the name of Jesus, you're not dying in here. I command you to, in Jesus' name, and you're not dying. Don't come back to life, you know. So whatever I said, I meant you're not going to die in this service. I got things to do here. I've been sent to preach and teach. Well, they took him to the back and called 911. Before 911 gets here, he wakes up. And then the fire department shows up, and they check him out, and he's okay, and he comes back and sits in the meeting. And I don't know if he really died for sure or not, but I knew what to do. All right. Let's look at Acts chapter 28. We'll do this one, Acts 28. verse 1, it says, now when they had escaped, this is after the ship wrecks. Paul's arrested, he's on the ship. God shows him it's going to end in a wreck and loss of life maybe. But then the angel shows up and says, no loss of life. And Paul tells the crew, however, we're going to lose the ship. So they had to throw all the stuff over the ship. Then it got broken on the rocks. And then they had to swim to the nearest island. And so that's where they're at, the island of Malta. Verse 1, chapter 28. When they had escaped, they found out that the island was called Malta. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said to one another, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live. Now stop there for just a second. This crowd exists today. When something goes wrong for somebody, their first thought is, you did something wrong. I grew up with people like this. Kids in the neighborhood, somebody would get hurt, and they would say, it's because you did that thing you did last week. God got you back. No, you don't do that. You don't do that. You got to recognize where God is in things like this. He's not the orchestrator of snake bites.
Right.
And snake bites or tragedies don't reflect anything necessarily. So you can't say it's because you sinned, the bad thing happened. Some sins certainly would have a connector, but you can't just automatically say that. Good people have bad things happen a lot, and it's not because God wanted it or purposely allowed it. They just happen. No doubt this man is a murderer, though he's escaped the sea, justice doesn't allow it. So they think this divine justice has caused this. But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm.
Glory to God. Glory.
Wait a second. No ointment? No prayer?
No freak out?
No 911? No bandage? No cutting and sucking the poison out?
Come on.
How could he just do this? How could he just shake the thing off? Because he was a man of faith.
That's right.
And he understood some things about God. He had a connection to the Holy Spirit. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. He knew something that ordinary people don't know. When faith and Holy Spirit people know something that ordinary people don't know, we do something different. We act different. And different results come because we tap into the supernatural, because we're connected to the Heavenly Father, because we know the one in whom all things come from, or all good things come from. And so what could he have possibly known? What could Paul possibly have known? Well, he must have known something. We agree with that. He must have known something, because ordinary people wouldn't react this way. He must have known something. I say he knew Scripture. I say even though he didn't walk with Jesus, he knew the words of Jesus. I mean, he's hanging out with Luke. Luke knew everything. He hung out with the apostles. The Holy Spirit taught him things, told him things. So it's likely that he knew the exact Scripture. Don't you think he probably knew Mark 16? Don't you think he was aware of the final words of Jesus?
Right.
Where Jesus said, preach the gospel to every creature.
Right.
He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that doesn't believe will be damned. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. In my name, they'll speak with new tongues. In my name, they'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it won't hurt them. And then they lay hands on the sick and they will recover. Don't you think he probably knew that? So why would the serpent thing be in there? Take up serpents. Why would that have to be? Why did Jesus throw in the take up serpents? Well, it's figurative, but it's also literal. Meaning, hey, I give you authority over everything.
That's right.
I give you authority over everything evil.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, and that refers back to Luke 10:19. Mm-hmm. Behold, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. So Luke 10:19 is a very core scripture where faith people and Holy Spirit people say, wait a second, that changes the ball game. I have authority over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt me.
Glory.
Don't tell anybody, but that's a life changer. But it's got to be in you. You got to know it before you get bit.
Right.
Really, you got to know it before you get bit.
Amen.
He didn't get bit and say, oh my gosh, Luke 10:19. I called on Luke 10:19. Oh my gosh. You got to have Luke 10:19 in your heart already so that your response is proper. And if you didn't, okay, if you didn't have Luke 10:19 in you and you got bit by a snake, you better hurry up and get it in you. Like, you better confess some scripture. You better say it out loud. You better talk to God. You better remind yourself. You better do something real quick. Sometimes you don't have time. And maybe it's not a snake bite, but it's something else. And maybe you've put it off too long. You're not ready. You better get prayer. Like, if you're not ready when something like this happens, go for your friends. You better have some faith friends.
Amen.
Every one of you need four faith friends to carry you through the roof.
Tear the roof up. Come on. Raise the ceiling, that's it.
It's better, though, if we get this in us and become a faith person, Holy Spirit person, and know what that means, that it actually changes things. He shook the creature off into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In that region, in this, that just kind of reinforces the fact that, look, this was supernatural. This was so supernatural that they think Thor came down from Marvel. So, I have this feeling that there's people in here that are ready to step into this type of life.
Right.
Some of you, let's say it this way, almost everybody wants to. I think some of you can. I doubt that everybody will. I would pray and want everybody to. We're praying these Pauline prayers today. Did you notice these prayers about knowing His power and the fullness? Look, all those words that were on that paper, those are supernatural, holy, very holy spiritual things.
Right.
That actually could become your new life purpose. Everybody's looking for purpose, wanting to do something important, wanting to save the world or, be known or, achieve or something. All those words that we prayed, those prayers, those are goals for your life. You start pursuing those things, you'll lead a supernatural life. And that's what leads to happiness. A spiritual life connected to the Holy Spirit leads to happiness.
Amen.
So I think some of you are ready for that. Start practicing.
We're ready.
Now, when I say practice, that doesn't mean go pick up poisonous snakes. Okay, that's not how you practice these things. We got goofy churches doing that. Okay? We're not talking about doing goofy stuff to practice your faith. We're talking about preparing your heart so that when you need it, it's there. Not testing God, not tempting God, not doing weird things to hurt yourself, not being oblivious to the world around you, being prepared for it, though. I think we're ready for that. I heard these things the first time. I said, okay, that's me. I'm signing up for that. I'm going to work my faith, my heart, into a place where I'm so connected to my Heavenly Father that this is real to me, so that my reactions are different. You've heard some of my stories about, the sharks in the Galveston or poison ivy. You got to find some ways to practice some of this stuff so that you're making it real. You got to make this come to pass for yourself. I don't mean like in some divine way that you're doing it, But you have to put yourself in the place and expect it until it works for you. I mean, it makes it fun. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.